above, and I found something. It's really why I came. He reached into the gym bag a third time. The redness was going out of the light now. The remains of the day were a fading pink, the color of wild roses. The radio, still lying in the grass, played Don't You Just Know It by Huey Piano Smith and the Clowns. Bobby brought out a crumpled piece of paper. It had been stained in a couple of places by the glove's sweaty innards, but otherwise it looked remarkably white and fresh. He handed it to Carol. She held it up to the light and slightly away from her face. Her eyes, Bobby saw, were not as good as they once had been. "It's the title page from a book," she said, and then laughed. "Lord of the Flies? Bobby, your favorite." "Look at the bottom," he said. "Read what's there." "Faber and Faber Limited, 24 Russell Square, London." She looked at him questioningly. "It's from the Faber paperback edition published in 1960, Bobby said. "That's on the back, but look at it, Carol. It looks brand new. I think the book this page came from might have been in 1960, only weeks ago. Not the glove. That's a lot more beat up than when I found it, but the title page." "Bobby, not all old books turn yellow if they're kept well. Even an old paperback might..." "Turn it over," he said. "Take a look at the other side." Carol did. Printed below the line, reading "All Rights Reserved," was this: "Tell her she was as brave as a lion." "That's when I knew I had to come, because he thought you'd be here, that you were still alive. I couldn't believe that. It was easier to believe in him than it was to believe..." "Carol, what's wrong? Is it the thing at the very bottom? What is that thing at the very bottom?" She was crying now, and crying hard, holding the torn-out title page in her hand and looking at what had been placed there on the back, squeezed into the scant white space below the conditions of sale. Hand-drawn in the familiar symbols, a formula. Love plus peace equals information. "What does it mean? Do you know? You do, don't you?" Carol shook her head. "It doesn't matter. It's special to me, that's all. Special to me the way the glove is special to you. For an old guy, he sure knows how to push the right buttons, doesn't he?" "I guess so. Maybe that's what a breaker does." She looked at him. She was still weeping, but was not, Bobby thought, truly unhappy. "Bobby, why would he do this? And how did he know we'd come? 40 years is a long time. People grow up. They grow up and leave the kids they were behind."
"Do they?"
She continued to look at him in the darkening day. Beyond them, the shadows of the grove deepened. In there, in the trees where he had wept on one day and found her hurt and alone the next, dark had almost come.
"Sometimes a little of the magic sticks around," Bobby said. "That's what I think. We came because we still hear some of the right voices. You hear them? The voices?"
"Sometimes," she said almost reluctantly. "Sometimes I do." Bobby took the glove from her.
"Will you excuse me for a second?"
"Sure." Bobby went to the grove of trees, dropped down on one knee to get beneath a low-hanging branch, and placed his old baseball glove on the grass with the pocket up to the darkening sky. Then he came back to the bench and sat down beside Carol again.
That's where it belongs, he said.
Some kid'll just come along tomorrow and pick it up. You know that, don't you?
She laughed and wiped her eyes. Maybe, he agreed, or maybe it'll be gone. Back to wherever it came from. As the day's last pink faded to ash, she put her head on his shoulder, and he put an arm around her. They sat that way without speaking, and from the radio at their feet, the Platters began to sing.
Heavenly shades of night are falling, it's twilight time. Out of the mist your voice is calling, 'tis twilight time. When purple colored curtains mark the end of day, I'll hear you, my dear, at twilight time. Deepening shadows gather splendor as day is done. Fingers of night will soon surrender the setting sun. I count the moments, darling, till you're here with me. Together, at last at twilight time. Here, in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath a blue. Yeah. In the same and sweet old way, I fall in love again, as I did then. Deep in the dark, your kiss will thrill me, like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you. Together, at last at twilight time. Here, in the afterglow of day, we keep our rendezvous beneath a blue. In the same and sweet old way, I fall in love again. Will thrill me like days of old, lighting the spark of love that fills me with dreams untold. Each day I pray for evening just to be with you, together at last at twilight time. Together
at last at twilight.
Hearts in Atlantis was written by Stephen King. It was read by William Hurt and Stephen King. Eve Baglarian was the director and producer. The associate producer was Florence Barreau Adams. The production coordinator was Will Carlino. The recording engineer was Paul Fowley, with editing and post-production by EVBBD Music and Jocelyn Gonzalez. The music was composed by Eve Baglarian and Danny Bloom. The music was performed by Danny Bloom, guitar, Aaron Hike and Michael Blake, saxophones, Joe McGinty and Brian Mitchell, keyboards, Neo Tanyan on Danchan, Don Falzone, bass, Kenny Woolison, drums and percussion. The music was recorded at Good and Evil with recording engineer Christian Kelly. The executive producer was Sandy Moore. This has been a presentation from Simon & Schuster Audio. Also available from Simon & Schuster Audio, Stephen King's Bag of Bones, read by the author, The Mist, and Pet Cemetery. Hearts in Atlantis is available in hardcover from Scribner.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.